Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Respected views of Madani Channel Please recite with us الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Respected viewers, we once again welcome you in our program. Lives of the Companions. In this program, we select one personality from Sahaba Ikram, Aim Ridwan, and we discuss life and legacy of that particular Sahabi Rasul, companion of the Prophet, radiallahu ta'ala an. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Great personality, inshallah, azawajal. So much to learn from his life and legacy, from his seerah. Be with us from start and end, inshallah, immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning today from this very program, Lives of the Companions. But before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make a few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama, Mawlana, Muhammad, Ilyas, Attar, Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As we are presenting this program, we make this intention, we will do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are watching, you can make this intention, you will watch this from start till end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. Today, joins me Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Attari. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wasim Abbas, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. All good. Today, personality is beautiful. Sahabi Rasul. Sahabi. Ibn al-Sahabi, subhanallah, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. In the start, if you could please just describe a brief introduction of this great personality, inshallah, we'll take it further from there.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Indeed, Rizwan, as you mentioned, an amazing personality, again, an influential figure when it comes to Islamic history, in the context of Islamic history, a remarkable figure and son of another legendary personality, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. So Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, we know he's the son of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and someone who left great impact in the pages of history when we scroll through them and see the legacy he left behind. And again, when we talk about the praiseworthy attributes, whether it is the fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the element of generosity, or when it comes to having the passion of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any other praiseworthy quality that we find in books which define a true believer, we see Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu to be an imam in all of them. And amongst various attributes which we find regarding him, the profound love that he had for the Prophet ﷺ is again that prominent feature which we find in his seerah. That despite being at such a rank of piety, such a rank of brilliance, we find him loving the Prophet ﷺ immensely and following the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, smallest of the acts that he would observe the Prophet ﷺ do, he would follow them. And this also sheds light on the fact that how important it is for us to follow the Prophet ﷺ. As Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anh, he would even act upon those practices of the Prophet ﷺ that would look very, very minute. No practice of the Prophet is minute, but smallest of the action that the Prophet ﷺ would perform, the way he would walk, the path that he would choose to walk from, the tree that would that he would rest beneath, all these small things of the Prophet ﷺ in the context, nothing is small of the Prophet ﷺ, but he would make sure that he does everything in accordance to how the Prophet ﷺ did them, despite being the Imam of piety, despite being Imam in the field of fearing Allah Almighty, despite being Imam in the field of knowledge. Okay,
this is the action which could have made him Imam.
Indeed, this is the point I was coming to, which that it was a love of the Prophet ﷺ which led him towards being the Imam in all these fields. Now, there's one way that some people who possess knowledge, whose knowledge, actually the light of whose knowledge spreads in every direction, you can say. And they do things that are impactful. Their love for the Prophet ﷺ is such that it touches the hearts of others. And in the history of mankind, we don't find many people of this definition. But when we look at the various personalities in the light of this very definition, we see Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anh to be right at the top, whose impactful practices left a great mark on the humanity and in the history of Islam. Now, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anh, he's the eldest son of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, who's the second caliph of Islam. And before the age of adolescence, before he became baligh, he accepted Islam along with his father. So Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh and his eldest son, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anh, both these individuals, they accepted Islam together. And they migrated towards Madinat al-Munawwara together as well. And now the passion that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anh had for the Islamic expedition were also remarkable. Now, when the expedition of Badr and Uhud took place, he radiallahu anh was still quite young, so he wasn't permitted to participate in those expeditions, whereas he was so passionate to join the Muslim armies. But then in 5 Hijri, when the Battle of Khandaq took place, the Battle of Trench, from then onwards, he participated in all the battles, in all the expeditions, and even in the Battle of Mu'tah and the conquest of Egypt and Africa.
Mashallah.
So he was at the forefront in all these Islamic expeditions as well. And is one way, when we talk about such an amazing personality, someone who's the son of the second caliph of Islam, someone who's the Imam in piety, someone who's a profound lover of the Prophet ﷺ, then of course a desire arises within a person that how this great personality would look like. What would be his physical appearance like? This is something that also
comes in mind.
Creates yearning in the hearts of the devotees of Sahaba. And Alhamdulillah, we are the devotees, the lovers of Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt. So let's talk about the appearance of the of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anh before we talk about other praiseworthy attributes of his. So it is said that he radiallahu anh had a wheatish complexion and he was tall. And his hair were at a length whereby they almost reached his blessed shoulders. He radiallahu anh would wear a turban and imama and keep his tail, his shimla, between both his shoulders towards his back. He would apply a pale dye to his beard, which was a fistful. Any hair beyond this were cut. He would trim his mustache such that the whiteness of his skin could be seen. So this is what we find in his physical appearance, which ulama have mentioned in the books. And many other praiseworthy attributes have been mentioned, which inshallah we'll touch upon as we proceed ahead towards in our program.
MashaAllah. Respective views of Padri Channel, we are talking about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And we heard that what a great personality. SubhanAllah, our brother Wasim Abbas, he has just summarized the attributes he possessed and how he was regarded by other Sahaba Ikram in his time. Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that, no doubt, I have not seen any other young person in Quraysh, right, who would control his nafs other than Sayyidina Ibn
Allah.
Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Now, amongst other youth of the Quraysh, who is talking about Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and himself was a great Sahabi Rasul. And he recognized that amongst these youth of Quraysh, the personality who stood out, the one who stands out, is the personality of Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. This also tells us that what stature, the great figure, personality he possesses. And then another place, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, another great Sahabi Rasul. that Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, I have not seen anyone other than him that who had not inclined towards dunya, world had not inclined him towards
Allah
itself. Now, it means that this personality was not attracted towards the luxuries of this world, this dunya. This dunya had not attracted him towards him itself. Now, this is the personality, Allahu Akbar. And the Sufiya, those they are close in the court of Allah subhanahu. What a beautiful definition of Sufi. Somebody has said that the one who has got a soft heart, the clean heart, that personality is called a Sufi. Now, when in terms of tasawwuf, right, Sufism, when you talk about, the cleanliness of the heart plays a lot of
indeed,
big role. At the same time, this interest from this dunya, not loving this dunya, is also part of a personality who possesses this quality of having a clean heart. Right? So, likes of this personality who did not have interest, even being young, at that age, you know, people, the youth, they have got attraction towards the luxuries of this world, right? The colors of this dunya. But this personality, according to Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he did not have this inclination towards this dunya. And then Sayyidina Jabir also says that this dunya had not attracted him, and neither he got attracted towards this dunya.
At the same time, Iswanbhai, as you were mentioning this, that Jabir radiallahu anhu mentioned this regarding him, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned this regarding him. At the same time, we can also see that there were other Sahaba as well. Right? And there would be other young Sahaba as well. And when we talk about other companions, they were also imams of piety. They were also, of course, at the highest ranks of praiseworthy attributes. But for the likes of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to praise Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu in these words, it also shows the greatness from the perspective of being amongst elite companions and within them holding this stature and rank. That of course it doesn't mean that there wasn't anyone else who was disinterested in the dunya. Of course,
it's a specific kind of praise the Sahaba
praise done. And amongst such Sahaba, so elite Sahaba who also existed in that time. So it shows us how greatly he was looked by other elite companions as well, and shows the great stature he had and the great rank he had in the court of Allah.
There are so many other attributes, Wasim Abbasbhai, with regards to this great personality. What we can learn a lesson from that seerah of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And what is that? To not love this dunya too much, have disinterest from this dunya, right? This dunya is there, that is for our benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. But what ulama, they have said, the benefit of the hereafter and the good deeds, what you can attain from this dunya, that's what you should do to that level. Because this dunya is a mortal dunya. But the best benefit you can take from it is the benefit of the hereafter, the good deeds you can do through this. And that will help you to better the everlasting life. Because this life, what is the average life of this day and age? Approximately 60, 70, isn't it? People, they die within this short span of life. But after the death, we are believers, we are Muslims, alhamdulillah, we believe in life after death. And that life after death is everlasting life after death. It will be there. See, immortal life. So we need to prepare for that. And I think it is worth mentioning about this disinterest to this dunya of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But at the same time, he used to send ahead so much for the hereafter in terms of sadaqat, in terms of khairat. His personality is full of so many beautiful elements of different features, but we will inshallah talk about. One is sadaqah and khairat, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, infaq fi sabilillah. Inshallah, we will also cover this, and inshallah, we will also cover other aspects of the life. But now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is message from a scholar. Let's include that segment and find out what message is there for you, for me, and for all of us. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Children, sometimes the coolness of parents' eyes
and sometimes cause of real stress. Sometimes they are comfort for the hearts of their parents, whereas sometimes they discomfort hearts of their parents. At a time, parents are seen to plead and make dua for children, and at times they wish if only this child wasn't born. And those who have children, some are happy with their children, whereas some are not happy with them. Children remain concerned that my parents love other siblings more than me. Whereas parents keep on explaining that for them both eyes are equal, whereas sometimes one eye gets irritated, becomes red and has pain in it, and person keeps on rubbing that one frequently and remains concerned about that. Both eyes are priceless. In case if it is said to someone, keep one and give one to another person, no one would be ready. Same is the case with parents. They love all their children. Here one point is important. Parents have learned one thing, and that is to raise their children with better qualities and good character. Parents firmly believe that the best gift what they can give to their children is good character, good manners. Now the question is, what is meant by best education and tarbiyah? Now when I come towards the sharah of this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi alayhi rahma has mentioned its explanation. He has focused religion, meaning raising your child as per teachings of Islam is the best gift you can give. Parents shouldn't focus only to make the children wealthy. Instead, they should make them religious. The concept of education with tarbiyah. Actually, problem has occurred here. Or you can say, people have misunderstood its real meaning. People have mixed the concept of education and tarbiyah with modern education and Western culture. Whereas education and tarbiyah is actually referred to Quran, Hadith, Islamic manners and teachings, which has not been the point of focus. And it is so because parents want to give such education and tarbiyah to their children which can lead towards a prosperous career. It's true. Brother Salman, who walk on the path of religion of Islam, if they are also looked after well financially, then for sure people will also change their route. Inshallah.
MashaAllah, we're learning about how to do tarbiyah, training to our children, raise them according to the teachings of Islam. SubhanAllah. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, today we are learning about a personality who was also a son, who was son of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and son. What a great tarbiyah he had done to this great personality. How did he raise him up to that level that he himself is being discussed today? His attributes are being discussed. His life and legacy is being discussed today. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we also raise our children like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and raised. Jee, Wasim Abbas bhai, talking about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and what would you like to share with viewers of Madani Channel regarding his life and legacy?
You see, the stature, the rank of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was great. But when we look at the seerah, the blessed practices, his habits, they were very detailed in terms of being very simple and in terms of following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which shows us that our personality should have simplicity in it, yet the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam should reflect through it. Following the Sharia should reflect through it. Now, whenever Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma would eat, there would always be an orphan with him on the dining mat.
SubhanAllah.
Look at this blessed practice. Talking about it, it perhaps would seem something very, very small. But imagine the reward there would be behind this. Whenever he would eat, there would be an orphan with him on the dining mat.
SubhanAllah.
Now, another practice of his was that he would use a miswak before going to sleep and also before and after dawn. Now, look at this beautiful practice again. That before going to sleep and after dawn, he would perform miswak. Such a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then a night would not pass in which he did not keep his will with him. He would keep his will with him. Again, something for us to ponder upon. Something that we should also prepare for ourselves. We've been encouraged.
And our Shaykh Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliya, has already written his will, isn't it?
And there's a booklet, Madani Will. It's available from Maktabatul Madina.
I think it would be a very good idea if the Madani Channel team can also show that Madani will, that booklet, Madani Wasiyat Nama, I think,
Urdu in Urdu and Madani will in English.
If that can be shown onto the screen so that people then know that if they would like to write their will, what should they write? What is the way forward?
Even user Madani Channel can obtain this booklet from the website of Dawat Islami, dawatislami.net. But this shows us his simplicity, yet his greatness in personality. Then another practice, beautiful practice, which we've sort of forgotten nowadays, that he radiallahu anh would greet everyone with salam.
Subhanallah.
He would say salam to everyone.
No, whatever you're mentioning, so this is each and every act is reminding me hadith of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah.
Regarding salam, make salam common, right?
Indeed.
Doing miswak.
Indeed.
How many times Rasulullah salam has done targheeb and encouraged the ummah to do miswak? What about orphans? Many hadiths are there, right, to look after the orphans. So he had heard this from Rasulullah, but he implemented this in his life.
So you see, these are very small actions from the point of physicality, from the point of performing them. But look at the reward there would be in this, and having steadfastness upon them is the main thing. Now you see, we spoke about him giving salam, greeting Muslims with salam. It is stated that on one occasion, he radiallahu anh passed by a place and forgot to give salam. Now what does he do? He returns back and says, Assalamu alaikum, and mentioned that he forgot to give salam. Just for the purpose of saying salam, he came back. Now imagine such a great imam, such a great companion, someone who's praised in great words by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, by Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, such a legendary personality. Look at his actions. He would keep his will by him at night. He would perform miswak. On his dining mat, always there would be an orphan. He would give salam to people. In fact, his purpose for going to marketplaces would be just to give salam. Once he radiallahu anhu intended to go to marketplace, and Sayyidina Tufail radiallahu anhu, he said to him that neither do you buy anything, nor do you negotiate any prices or ask about any products. So why not just stay here and sit down here and just talk? And he radiallahu anhu said that I go to marketplaces just to give salam. This was the purpose for which he would go to marketplaces, just to give salam. And imagine, we know the hadith in which we are told that by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, how many good deeds we earn. And on the other hand, we see an elite companion like Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, whose sole purpose to visit marketplace would be to give salam to Muslims. Now this shows how important it is for us to give salam. As in another hadith, we've been encouraged to give salam, make salam common, feed Muslims, the other practices as well, and then enter Jannah peacefully. Yes. So this is such a beautiful practice, such a beautiful sunnah, which unfortunately we've forgotten about today. And what is our state nowadays? I'll meet you, hello, hi. These kind of statements or phrases of greeting each other, we've adopted, and we've left the sunnah method, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And it also reminds me of the great Pious Deeds booklet which Amir al-Sunnat has given us, in which we've been encouraged to say Assalamu alaikum to others, in which we've been encouraged to perform these pious deeds.
Look,
which is
one more thing, Wasim Abbasbi, what a beautiful greeting we have as Muslims. Islam, how beautiful greeting Islam has given to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, when we just talk about Assalamu alaikum, what does it mean? May peace be upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You are giving a dua of tranquility, peace to your fellow Muslim brother when you see him. Right now, look at this. If you say good morning, so this is restricted to the morning. Mm-hmm. When you say good evening, then you're restricting the evening, right? Good afternoon. But when you say Assalamu alaikum, it's not restricting. This is comprehensive dua you're making.
Right.
So this dua you're giving is not restricted only for morning, evening or afternoon, that you are just giving this dua to your fellow Muslim brother. This is the beauty of
And it's not only for the personal being of the person. It encompasses him, his honor, his chastity, his wealth, everything.
Subhanallah. And you will honor that.
You'll honor that. Only if you can understand the true
depth of the
depth
reasoning
essence.
Of this.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. Subhanallah.
So these were some of his best practices.
MashaAllah. Respecting Yusuf Madani Channel, today we are talking about a great personality, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and who used to act upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, let me tell you another beautiful wasim of Azbay was reading that Sayyidina Nafi radiyallahu ta'ala, and he narrates that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala used to spend his beloved thing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was his practice. Anything which would become very close to him and he would love it so much, he would spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would give it as a sadaqah. Sayyidina Nafi radiallahu ta'ala and says that when his servants came to know that his practice is such, that his habit is such, then what would they do? Those servants go into masjid, they would wear nice clothing, okay? And then they would go in the masjid and they would start praying there. They would just keep on lying there in the masjid. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and whenever he would find his servant in this nice and good state, right? And he would make him free.
Subhanallah.
Now rafaqa, so those the relatives or close, you see, people of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, they said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, they mentioned qasam, they are betraying you. Then he radiallahu ta'ala and said, who is betraying in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get keep betraying from that person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I'll keep getting this deceived by them, if they're deceiving me on the name of Allah.
On the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his ikhlas, sincerity, and he would spend so much in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respective viewers of Madinah. Inshallah, we'll talk further on this. Anything which would be very closer to him, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and would spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abi Uthman and Rahmatul Rahman, he narrates that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma freed a slave girl. Her name was Rumaitha.
Right.
And the account is that he radiallahu ta'ala an first recited this verse of the Holy Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, and then said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, right? I love you in this dunya the most. Allahu Akbar. Go, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And it has been mentioned that in this very verse, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about, that you will not reach true goodness unless or until you spend your beloved thing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respective views of Madinah, these Sahaba Ikram, they used to act upon the ayahs of Quran, the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how anything which was most beloved to them, they would spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is our state? Where do we stand? What do we do? Do we do? Do we act upon the way Sahaba Ikram they used to do? Allah. Like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, very rare respectives of Allah. The best thing what we like, we would like to keep it with us. We would like to protect it. We would like to keep it safe. And we don't even want to show that thing. Especially those sisters they are watching. They love jewelry, right? They would try to keep the best piece of jewelry, right? Safe, in protected, in lockers. They would not give in the path of Allah. But there are, alhamdulillah, generous women, mashallah, sisters. And they spend even their jewelry. And this is the practice of Sahaba Ikram, which gives us a mindset that whatever we love. And nowadays, Wasim Al-Azmi, the most thing what people love is money.
True.
They don't want to give to anyone. So if we spend money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we'll reach to goodness. We will find goodness, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return us, multiplied in this dunya, inshallah. We will get reward, inshallah, azza wa jal. And on the day of judgment, when we will be in need, we will get reward.
Inshallah. No, most certainly, Rizwan bin, this is something for us to ponder upon as well, that when it comes to giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, A, we don't, and B, when we do intend to give, it is something that we don't even need, and it is something that would go into trash. And that is something that when we say, okay, let me just give this in the court of Allah now.
Very good point you have brought into discussion. Inshallah, we'll talk on this respective views, but now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is words of wisdom. Let's find out what are the words of wisdom today in this program. we have included for you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Viewers, today we've got words of wisdom. And Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala and has said, the one who gives a fatwa, legal ruling without knowledge, the angels of the heavens and the earth curse him.
Allah Akbar.
Respect viewers, it's very, very, very eye-opening. We need to be mindful whenever if someone asks us about any ruling of Islam, if we are 100% sure on that, we should only tell that person. If we have read somewhere, if we have learned from a Sahih al-Aqidah Sunni scholar, a right mas'ala, a right ruling, then only we need to pass it on, we need to tell to somebody else. Okay, but it's always a good idea to refer to an Islamic scholar if someone asks about an Islamic ruling. But never ever tell anything if you are not sure. Otherwise, you've heard what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and said. But Sayyidina Masbi, before going to the segment, we were talking about our mindset, the people's mindset when it comes to give. Right? You brought the point into discussion that people, they would like to give what is not of any use, especially in the charities. Okay, the clothes we don't need, we give in charity. The shoes we don't need, we give in charity. Right? Even Allahu Akbar, our mindset is such when we are giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cash. So we would like to see which note is old.
And smallest in value.
Smallest in value also, but also old. See, the new ones we would like to keep with.
You see, that's the difference, you see, when we talk about ordinary individuals and the elite personalities such as the Sahaba, they would do so to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we find accounts where Sahaba, they donated their gardens. You see, Sahaba. Garden is not something small. A garden that would be most beloved to them.
Yeah.
They would donate that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same verse that you recited earlier, when that verse was revealed, one companion, he said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I love this garden of mine the most. I donate this in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give it as sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find these examples in our history where even if you talk about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, one day it is narrated as one way that he radiallahu anhu wished to eat fish, right? After it had been grilled and placed in front of him,
right?
All of a sudden what happens? A beggar comes. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma orders for that fish to be given to the beggar. Imagine you're hungry. Imagine you're wanting to eat a certain kind of food. That food is grilled to your taste, brought in front of you. Now's the time when you can consume it, you can eat it, and right at that time, a beggar comes.
You prioritize him.
And you give that to the beggar. Imagine. You know, nowadays things are different for us. For these accounts, for us to absorb these accounts, we need to understand them in the contextual background, that what it meant to have a grilled fish back in those days. Today, we can order, you know, food online. Okay, someone came. Firstly, how many people are there out there who would give their favorite food to the other person, to the beggar who comes at the door? But even if we do, we can straight away order another food. Or, you know, it's comparatively easy nowadays. Back then, it wasn't easy. So imagine, he radiallahu anhu wanted to eat fish that was grilled, brought in front of him, time to eat, beggar comes, he gives it to him.
You talked about one fish, right? Let me tell you the generosity of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Nafi radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala and would give in sadaqah from his maal, whatever he would love. Right?
Allah Allah.
Sometimes even 30,000 dirham he gave Allah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this is not a small amount?
30,000 dirham. Yeah. Let's talk about in this day and age. If someone's to give 30,000 pounds in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Are you kidding me, Rizwan?
30,000, if today in this Allah, age.
Allah. And in one gathering as well?
In one gathering. Right? Sayyidina Ibn Amir alayhi rahmatullahi al-ghafir, see, he sent twice 30,000 dirham. He radiallahu ta'ala said, O Nafi, I've got fear that Ibn Amir may not put me in a test. The dirahim of Ibn Amir.
Allah,
that money, that maal may not put me into a test. Hence go, you are free.
Allahu Akbar. Allah
and Akbar. Respected brothers, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Nafi radiallahu ta'ala says that sometimes Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would spend 30,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar.
This
Allah
was the generosity.
It is one way Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an, once he sent 100,000 dirhams
Allahu Akbar.
To Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. How much? 100,000 dirhams. And it is stated that not even a year had passed when not even a single dirham was left with him. Meaning he had spent the entire amount in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 100,000 dirhams.
Allah.
Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sends to him. And within 1 year, nothing is left with him. He's distributed all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. This is called generosity. This is called generosity. And what is our state? Alhamdulillah. There are Muslim brothers, mashallah. They are generous brothers. They are spending in the path. Even in this day and age, you see, thousands of pounds are spent and they are given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever there is disaster, whenever there is a need, our Muslim ummah, alhamdulillah, seems united. Comes, they come at forefront. They come forward, alhamdulillah. They support and they give. But yet, there are many who are stingy. There are many who are holding their money. When it comes to give zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something compulsory. One of the five pillars of Islam, it is must upon us to pay off the zakat. Right? We need to take that money out of our wealth. That does not belong to our maal. Let's put it simple this way. The maal, which is the maal of zakat, that is not our money. That belongs to the needy. That belongs to those who are mustahiq, deserving of that zakat. That is not our money. So if we keep that money with our maal, it means our maal is filthy. Our maal is not pure. It's not pak. Because that does not belong with our maal. Right? So, respective views of Madani Shail, we need to keep our maal pak by getting out of that portion which does not belong to us. Otherwise, we will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment because that is something which is forced upon us to do. It's just 2.5%. Sometimes it becomes hard upon people to, even they try to ask questions for ulama, okay, how can I save from this 2.5%? And sometimes I really smile when such questions are asked, Wasim Basmi, because we are ready to give 19%, 20% tax. Right? Whenever it comes to give the tax, we give a huge amount of taxes, isn't it?
Very true.
But when it comes to giving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we argue upon 2.5%, no, it should not be the case.
Allah, these severe warnings regarding those who withhold their zakat amount, do not pay it duly. And these accounts what we're talking about, these are sadaqahs, something that was not fard upon the sahaba. Giving grilled fish was a fard. You know, this was voluntary sadaqah, and we withhold the fard zakat, you see. And alhamdulillah, where you mentioned regarding the disaster help, aid, where Ummah becomes united, alhamdulillah. And many brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, are seen where they're very generous.
Five figures are not equal.
And they trust Dawat-e-Islami. They give open-heartedly to Dawat-e-Islami every year. And now Ramadan is just around the corner. And those brothers and sisters will come forward again, give open-heartedly and generously to Dawat-e-Islami, inshallah. But at the same time, now as Ramadan is just upon us, we should follow the footsteps of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma and make sure that first and foremost we pay our zakat. There's no option in this. Whatever is the zakat amount, we should pay it duly, wholeheartedly, and happily, whilst thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then further, we should vasten our dose of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for optional charity as well.
Absolutely right. And there are many people who have been blessed. If they calculate due amount of zakat, it would, to be honest with you, will be in millions.
True.
If not in millions, in hundreds of thousands.
True.
To be honest with
Very
you.
True.
Because there are certain people who have been blessed. This was the reason why Qarun, right, he got destroyed.
True.
The reason he was asked to pay zakat and his treasure was so big. When he started calculating that, he thought, how much will I give? So this is azmaish. This is called test. If Allah, who had given him all that treasure? Again, we should think. Okay, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Whatever mal you've got, if you are a millionaire, if you are a billionaire, whatever assets you possess, it doesn't belong to you. Who gave it to you? Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And the portion what is due upon you to take away from that wealth which does not belong to you, that belongs to the needy, right? So we should take it out. We should give in the part of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and wholeheartedly we should give.
True. Very true.
Wholeheartedly, happily, we should thank Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And rather, if somebody comes to us and asks for zakat, we should be thankful to them. Right? We should say thank you. Yeah, you have taken away what was due upon me, and you've made my mal pure.
And from the other perspective, Rizwan Bhai, only if we can thank Allah Almighty that we are amongst the givers, not receivers.
Yeah.
This is another blessing of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, which by withholding that wealth, we are removing blessings from our wealth, and ultimately we will see its harms and consequential circumstances in this world and in the hereafter.
You see, it is called the mal of our mal. Mal is the dirt of our mal, right? And this is one of the reasons why this zakat is not given to sadat. Right? Those they are in the progeny of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. They are given gift, right? The reason ulama they mentioned, because it is mal of your mal, this is dirt of your mal, right? It is, in other words, you can say filth of your mal. This is not given to sadat. So respect viewers, why should not we take away that dirt from our wealth, which does not belong to us? And inshallah, if we give it to the right needy people, inshallah, we will be getting blessings, as Muballigh of Dawat Islami mentioned. Let's include one segment in our program, and inshallah, we will continue from there. And the segment what we are going to include, that is, did you know? Let's find out. Did you know or not? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
The first question what today we have brought for you is, what is meant by lie? What is the definition of lie?
To say something against the fact is called a lie. So question for you is, one way, is it a sin to write a lie, like telling a lie?
Yes, to write a lie is also a sin. Just not just telling a lie, but writing also a sin. How is it to swear a false oath?
To swear a false oath is impermissible and a sin and a satanic act. We should avoid it. Question for you. Some children read the books of jokes and false stories. What is the ruling on it?
Reading such books is not right, because such things cause negligence among children. Who first told a lie?
It was Satan the accursed who first told a lie.
A Muslim cannot be a liar. Yes. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we learned something about lying. We learned that the first lie was told by Shaitan. We should always speak truth. Inshallah, we will see the blessings. Wasim Masmi, we are talking about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and we are talking about the generosity. Sayyidina Nafi radiallahu ta'ala and says, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala and in his whole life freed 1,000 or more servants in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slaves in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That many ghulam he freed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1,000 or more. Can you imagine? And this was a great, you can say, a commodity. Because back in those days, buying and selling of slaves was done. That was the practice.
It was common.
And that is one of the beauty of Islam, that encouraged the people that you should free the slaves. This is again beauty of Islam. Islam gave this mindset, encouraged people to free, and Islam told this is one of the biggest good deeds. When you free a slave. This was the reason 1,000 slaves were freed by just one Sahabi Rasul. If he did not have those kind of ahadith which mentioned the barakah and blessing and fadail and excellences of freeing a slave, why would he have done it? He knew it's one of the greatest good deeds. At the same time, what a great generosity.
Indeed. And as you were mentioning earlier, that any slave of his that he would see worshipping Allah Almighty, he would free him.
Allah. Even some people are told that they are betraying you.
They are deceiving you.
They're deceiving.
And subhanAllah, his great reply that if they're deceiving me on the name of Allah,
Allah,
I would be deceived. This is the greatness of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, where we see him despite being amongst the most elite companions, subhanAllah, his passion for generosity, his passion for freeing slaves, it was second to none.
We have learned 1,000 slaves. We have learned 100,000 dirham. We have learned 30,000 dirham to spend. Now, how much he had given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
I was just thinking, Rizwan, since you were mentioning these amounts, only if he hadn't spent all this amount and he'd hoarded that wealth,
accumulated
that, he would perhaps have become one of the richest people of the time.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But he still is one of the richest people of the time. Why? Because the good deeds that he holds.
It doesn't stop. There are so much more about his personality. Sayyidina Asim bin Muhammad al-Rahmatullahi al-Ahad, he quotes from his father, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that his slave, Sayyidina Nafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, against him, 10,000 dinar were presented against him. Allahu Akbar. Then I said, oh, Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala an, what are you waiting for? Why don't you sell it? He said, isn't he better than these dinar?
Allah,
I free
Allah,
him
Allah.
In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah.
For free.
Allahu Akbar. He did not worth 10,000. He worth more than that. And he went to spend more in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by freeing that.
He knew the worth. He still carried out with the transaction.
Yeah.
But not for the sake of money, for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And he considered that if I sell him, then it means I would have got 10,000 dirham. And maybe if I spend in the path of Allah, I would get 10,000. But this slave, he worth more. And how much more he worth, right? In terms of his own eyes, you never know. And how much reward he got it because he freed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for free. Respect to Yusuf Madani here. This was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, son of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. May we get a little from his generosity and we also become generous and we give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would like to give you a reminder. Dawat Islami is doing wonders across the globe. Alhamdulillah, many masajid, many madaris, many jami'at, sisters' work is separate, brothers' work is separate. So much, alhamdulillah, is being done. To run this show, we need huge amount of funds. When you calculate your zakat, do remember your beloved Dawat Islami. Yes. Look after your loved ones, close relatives who are needy and they are deserving. Look after them first. Give your zakah to them first. And this is again a beauty of Dawat Islami. It guides you according to Sharia, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then whatever is left over, you should remember your beloved Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, through your generous donations, everything, whatever is being done across the globe, that becomes possible. And we need your generous support more than ever. This is the time when we need your support. So don't forget your beloved Dawat Islami, who is providing you Deen Islam at the comfort of your own room and house, alhamdulillah. Through Madani Channel, through Jamia, through Madaris, through Masajid, alhamdulillah. Anything you would like to give a message?
Most certainly, Rizwan Bhai. I mean, Even online services in the form of Ezan Online Academy, Dawat Islam is providing. You can become Islamic scholars, acquire the knowledge of Islam from the comfort of your home, whatever time suits you. Alhamdulillah, one-to-one, a teacher will be allocated to you who will teach you. So much, alhamdulillah, Dawat Islam is doing from all the fronts. Even this era is of media, of technology. Even in this era, on this platform as well, from the platform of digitalization and technology, Dawat Islam is using it to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't forget, as you mentioned, your Dawat Islami, there's so much more to do. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has already achieved so much, but there's so much more to achieve because of a war is against Satan the accursed.
MashaAllah, you're looking after the department of, overseeing the department of translation. What Dawat Islami is doing in terms of literature, see, publishing literature, writing literature, translating literature, and making it available for the people who can understand English language. What are the achievements? So people, they know that what a great work at the back of the scene, right? Behind the camera, what is being done, alhamdulillah, that is worth mentioning. And so you should know that. This is all possible through your kind donations. Please.
No, this again is one way, is something where the Ummah needs guidance through literature. This is something which has been since centuries and which will remain until the Day of Judgment. And alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is providing authentic literature to the Ummah, not only in English language, but in multiple languages, in around 40 plus languages, alhamdulillah. The Quran is being translated.
40 plus languages, Dawat-e-Islami is translating the literature from Arabic and other languages.
Indeed. Masha'Allah. All the way from Chinese, from German, from French, from Spanish to English to many other languages, which perhaps you wouldn't even know the names of. But why? Just because I must try.
The message should get across to those people.
And authentic literature is being provided. Work on the Holy Quran is being done, alhamdulillah, on the commentary of Quran, on the books of Tafasir, on the books of Hadith, alhamdulillah. And so many projects are ongoing. And this is all, alhamdulillah, due to the generous support of our beloved viewers of Dawud, Madani channel and other devotees of the Prophet.
MashaAllah. Now, inshallah, we'll include one segment in our program, and that is Hadith of the day. Let's include that. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Dear Islamic brothers and sisters, we have heard this hadith countless number of times. All that awaits us is to apply it into our lives. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس شبابك قبل هرمك وصحتك قبل سقمك وغناءك قبل فقرك وفراغك قبل شغلك وحياتك قبل موتك. Take advantage of five before five. Your youth before your old age. Your health before your sickness. Your prosperity before your poverty. Your free time before your preoccupation, and your life before your death. The commentary for this hadith is that the intelligent person reaches the evening, yet does not wait for morning and vice versa. Meaning, a person who's not intelligent will wait for the next day to do his or her tasks. He is always alert to the possibility of death coming at any time. Valuing the days of his well-being, he performs good deeds that will avail him after death. Dear viewers and dear Islamic brothers and sisters, the only thing that is going to help us in the hereafter are our good deeds. Not this wealth, not anything else will help us in the hereafter except the good deeds. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly mentioned the five things that we must heed in order to succeed in the hereafter. Firstly, youth before old, because in youth we can pray. We can pray at any time. We can fast. We can make du'as. We can recite the Holy Quran. When a person is in old age, they face difficulty in praying salah. They face difficulty in reciting, whether it's because of the tongue, whether it's because of the eyesight. They face difficulty in terms of fasting. Why is that? Because old age tends to make it difficult. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, youth before old age. Your health before your sickness. When a person is sick, they are unable to perform the good deeds that they once used to perform when they were healthy. Your prosperity before your poverty. When a person becomes poor, the only thing that goes into that person's mind is, how do I get myself out of this? And they start forgetting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your free time before your preoccupation. Why is that? Because when we are free, we are able to freely commit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And life before death, because once a person dies, the books, the accounts of good deeds are closed. Dear Islamic brothers and sisters, heed this warning and apply it into your lives. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. And today we are talking about the generosity, giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to giving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which is beloved to us, we should give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we were talking about great personalities who used to give in the path, likes of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala, and who would give sugar in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason, because he loved it so much and he wanted to give this in the path. We should also spend something beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will be blessed. We will get goodness. Ibrahim Basbek, at the end, what would you like to share with viewers of Madin Shell regarding this great personality, Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an?
Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhum, we've spoken about his generosity, many of the aspects, but one of the prominent feature is that he was a seasoned jurist. He was also an elite scholar. And from amongst the companions, it is stated that he knew the most rulings regarding Hajj. This is again one of his exclusivities. He issued verdicts, fatwas, for 60 years, yet he would be very, very cautious in this.
Allah.
So a man, it is stated that once asked Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu a question, and he radiyallahu anhu lowered his head and did not give any answer. And the man said, did you not hear my question? And he said, of course I did. It is as if you people who ask the questions think that Allah will not question me about it. Do not speak so that I can fully comprehend your issue. And then somebody once asked a question to him, to which he replied, I do not know. And then he said that how wonderful was the response of Ibn Umar. He said he did not know in response to what he was unaware of. This is a Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, who is great in the rank of knowledge, but yet he is thinking, comprehending after listening to the question, shows us that how cautious we should be in this approach. He radiyallahu anhu for 60 years issued fatwas. Amongst the Sahaba, he was someone who knew most rulings regarding Hajj. But yet, this was his state wherein came to caution. And then he radiyallahu anhu, he has narrated 1,630 ahadith. And out of them, 170 ahadith are mentioned in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari together. And there are 81 ahadith which Imam Bukhari narrates separately, and 31 ahadith which Imam Muslim has mentioned separately. And then how this great beacon of guidance, this great leader of this ummah, he passed away. It is stated that on the command of the tyrant Hajjaj bin Yusuf, somebody struck the foot of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma with a poison-tipped spear. And due to this, he passed away after a couple of days in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma passed away in 73 Hijri in either Sha'ban or Ramadan, 2 or 3 months after Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu anhu was martyred.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon the shrine of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and forgive us for his sake. Respective viewers, we learned a lot from his seerah today. That's all for today. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, with another beautiful personality. Keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.